Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to have to look around the room a little bit. Excuse me. So I can see everybody's faces. I just want you to imagine with me this morning that you were laying in bed and you were awake, but you just really weren't up yet. And all of a sudden you could hear your phone, but you knew you couldn't get out of bed fast enough to get to it. So you just lay there for a little bit longer and thought, well, we'll see what that's about. And so you get up and there's a message on there. And the message was from Pastor Terry, who I've known her and Scott since they were children. And Jim and Jonesy, we all go way, way back to the early 80s. That's when we all first met each other. Excuse me, I'm going to clean my voice a little bit. Thank you, Lord. And so there was a message on there to call her, and which you just announced that Pastor Scott was under some attack last night. And they were praying, and my name came up, and I have just started coming here. This is my second service, but I'm here with you, and this is my new home church too. So if you didn't know that, I'm thankful to be here, excited to be with you. And when they first told us about the church way back, we all went out to eat. I told Jack on the way home, I said, I want to help them pioneer this new work and jump in, but he wasn't ready at that time, and he's at Living Stones, and God's mightily using him there. And so we've been married almost 50 years in a couple months, and it's been a wonderful 50 years. And I said, if we can do 50 years together like this, and I said, we can do this too. So he's going to stay there and be used, and I'm going to stay here and be used, and we're just going to keep following God. Amen. Can you all relate to that? But anyway, so I called Pastor Terry, and she said he felt worse this morning. He was just he's under attack. I mean, know that people are under attack. And so the first thing I started doing was praying for Pastor Scott in my heart, you know. And then she said, well, he wanted to know if you'd take the service this morning, and if you could preach this morning. And so I just wanted you to picture yourself in bed, and the phone rang, and it's Pastor Terry, and she, I said, Pastor Scary, I didn't mean that. It was a tiny bit scary, but not too. Just picture that, and then, but you know, when you stay ready, you just say yes, because I thought if you put me on, oh, thank you. I'm going to anoint myself. I need this for sure. When if God put me on his heart the night before and I was still on his heart the next morning, guess what? God was going to give me something. And when I look around the room, and so many of you, raise your hand if you ever went to church with me. Let me see your hands. See, I know a lot of people here. And that's just some of them. There's more that usually come too that aren't here this morning. But just say this, say connected. Say connected. Okay, we're all connected by God. We got connected when we plugged into Jesus, didn't we? Amen. And we don't know what that connection is going to take us to the next dot, but he's connecting the dots. And so we're just connected as family. And it's an exciting time to be in the body of Christ and to hear the voice of God and to follow and obey God. It's the most important thing is to do what God tells you to do. Amen? And I know that's your heart's desire and it's mine too. And so I just started immediately. I said, okay, Lord, I know that you have something today that you want to bring forth, and several things he brought up, and as I was sitting there, he added something from this morning, and then I'm going to jump in here first and read these scriptures here. And I'm going to be reading out of Romans 5, and I'm going to start at the beginning and just going to read a few of these scriptures if you want to read along with me. And this is kind of my testimony, and I love hearing, you know, I used to hear Pastor Jandal all the time say, I love to hear the pages turn, you know. And I know maybe some of y'all, you young people don't understand us just still loving to turn those pages when you can just get out your phone and do this, you know. I usually can't, by the time I find the place in the Bible and find the scriptures, you're already on to the next one, but I can find it in here just as fast as you can on that. Because this is what I cut my teeth on. How many cut your teeth on the Word of God?
Amen.
And I don't mean as a baby, I mean as a, you know, as an adult, but I finally got into the Word. Okay, let's read together. I'll just read it to you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
Into this place in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We sang about that this morning as we were rejoicing about the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Everybody say, hope does not disappoint. We've got a lot of things today that we're hoping for. And we're hoping to have a new president and be the same president. Amen. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit, probably more at the end. And God wanted me to share just a tiny bit of my testimony. My testimony is very funny because I did not grow up in church. I did not know any of you people that grew up in church. And I did not know how to act in church. The first thing I wanted to do was get out and go have a cigarette about halfway through because I didn't make, you know, I smoked a lot. And when you smoke a lot, you usually don't go more than an hour, you know. So, and my husband stopped me. You know, he grew up in church and was backslidden, which I didn't know he'd never been to church. And so I'm going to tell just a tiny, just a little, enough of that to make you laugh maybe, but it's about the Holy Spirit. And I had him take me to an Assembly of God, and he said, well, I think that's one of those scary churches, and she won't want to go back. Because he grew up Pentecostal, so he thought, well, I'll scare her to death, and she won't go back. Because they start praying in tongues or doing something crazy or falling down the floor or running like a chicken or something, they, you know, she'll be done, you know. So that was his idea, and that's why he found an Assembly of God for me. And but that's where I wanted to stop right there. Let me make sure. No, I want to read just a tiny bit more. For when we were still without strength, in due time, everybody say in due time. He found us he found me in my due time. Did he find you in your due time?
Yes.
And it said, Christ died for the ungodly, and he did it in his timing. And that was his due time to come. For scarcely for the righteous a man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And I love so much, Rachel, that we sing about the love of God. Because it's everything. It's all about, he is love. He doesn't just have love. God is love. And but his own love toward us, in that we were still sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. After 2 years of marriage, and you know, everybody's in love when you first get married, right? I mean, you should be. Kind of scary sometimes people aren't. You know, they just get married because they feel like they have to, which is really bad. Don't do that if you don't have to, you know. But I went on my first date with him, and I came in and I told my mother, I said, Mom, I think I just went out with my husband. She said, I hope so. He's the first one you ever brought home that had any sense. Which was funny because I mostly dated engineers, which, you know, I don't know why my mom didn't think they had any sense. And my mom really liked him until she found out he was a Republican. And I didn't know the difference between a Democrat or a Republican, but my mother was a strong Democrat. And so anyway, but we, from the first date we had, and I don't know anybody in here if you've had this happen to you, but we saw each other every single night for 6 months, and we always had something to talk about. We always loved being together, and it was just like, this is it. He's it. And I didn't date anybody else and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, after 6 months, we got married, and for 2 years, it was wonderful. We had two children. We had two little boys, and we moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and then something happened, and actually, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. All of a sudden, I felt empty inside, and you're not supposed to feel like that when you're, you know, fulfilled in a marriage, you know, and you got beautiful children, your husband loves you, and he's got a good job, but I'm telling you, I just was empty inside. And I went like that for a while, and you know, I got feeling really guilty because I thought, how can I feel like this with this wonderful husband when I've got this wonderful... I started thinking about how, really, the wonderful things in my life, I felt so selfish, and then I felt confused, and I thought, why am I unhappy? How can I feel like this, you know? And I didn't go and talk to my husband about it. I was too embarrassed to tell him anything because he hadn't done anything wrong. And so I just decided it was just me, and I thought, and I remember I never ever wanted a divorce. Even as a child, I would say, I'm never going to get a divorce. And my parents fought a lot, and I used to beg them to get a divorce because I hated that they fought all the time and cussed each other and stuff. And so I'd get under a bed, and I'd just lay under a bed and cry. Hardly anyone's ever seen me cry, but I would get under a bed and cry. And so I think my husband's maybe seen me cry twice in our years of marriage because I just don't cry a lot. So anyway, let me go back. Now, y'all have to help me because I might get confused and you can help me get back on track. So I'm standing there and I'm feeling bad because I'm not going to leave this marriage, but I'm just miserable. And this is what I did. And God saw me do it. Everybody say, God saw me do it. You know, he does see you do everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, he does see us do it. Well, I went like this and I put my hands up. And I said to this, and I didn't even really think about talking to God. I just said, is this all there is? And that's all I said. He said, that's close enough. That's close enough. He said, okay. She said, is this all there is? And she's looking up at me, And so the next morning when I woke up, I went to my husband. I said, honey, I said, could we go to church? Could you take me to church? And he got real mad. See, he found me in a bar and he thought he was safe. He was running from God and I was looking for God. And I didn't know I was looking for God. And so anyway, when he, and I said, could we go to church? And he said, why would you want to go to church? And I said, well, I don't know. I just want to. And he said, you won't like it. And I said, well, how would you know that? He said, well, I grew up in church. And I said, well, you never told me you ever went to church. And he said, oh, yeah. And he says, and you won't like it. Because, see, it was old time Pentecost, you know. And he, you know what he liked about me? He liked the way I dressed. And he says, everywhere you sat in the bar, there was a party going on. People were laughing and having fun. And he said, I like the clothes you wore. And he still likes the clothes I wear. I don't get it, but he still likes the clothes I wear. But anyway, but he said, I just liked you. And he said, I liked you when you talked, and I liked you when you laughed. And he was just graduating from college. My husband was just getting out of college. And so that's kind of how we met each other. And so anyway, we never discussed going to church together, or we never spoke about God. And so I think about how he was raised. I mean, all of his family were just real Pentecostal, and they loved God, but I didn't know them. And so, and you know, the first time I meet his mother and them, I'm coming in, and I've got my purple hot pants on and my go-go boots, and I've got my cigarette. I was never without my cigarette, you know. I'm so nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, Miss Barry, you know. And they were all just so nice to me, and his mother was kind of shaking, you know, and, oh, you know, God, could this be the one, you know. And maybe some of your family were like that when they met you. I don't know, but I mean, it was just kind of like that. But she was nice to me. The grandmother told me later, she said, young lady, I saw something in you. And, you know, there are just people, they're going to see, somebody will see something in you that's good, even when you don't even know anything good's in you. And so grandma prayed for me a lot. And so anyway, so when I brought up about going to church and he wanted to take me somewhere scary, and he looked down, and I don't know why he couldn't find a Pentecostal church that day, but he didn't. And he saw Assembly of God, and he thought, well, that'll just be the same thing. So we went to the Assembly of God. She'll get scared when we go, and that'll be the end of it. But when we first got there, I liked it already because there are a few men out on the parking lot, and they were smoking. So I thought, okay, I'm going here. I can do this, you know. And so, and we got in, but what I wasn't expecting was there was a greeter in the back, and she hugged me, and it made me cry. And I want to, how many of you greet? I look at the faces. I know some of you I see out there sometimes. Do you know how sweet it is? And I used to be a greeter all the time. And the reason I did it for so many years too was because that lady that hugged me, I knew later and understood that she'd been praying, God, love through me, hug through me, touch through me. Because I wasn't sad going in or anything like that. But when she put her arms around me, I cried. And it embarrassed me. I thought, what's the matter with me? Why am I crying? You know, I just wanted to kind of get away. But she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, it's okay, honey. It's okay. I said, well, all right. You know, it's okay. And my little son that was two, I thought, oh, I don't know how he's going to do with this. You know, he usually hung on my leg. I didn't know if he'd go in with the children. They opened that door, and he took off running. I said, there's my son. He didn't look back. He loved it. You know, they said, oh, he had so much fun. We put the baby in a little rocking thing, gave him a cracker or something. You know, he was okay. So, but anyway, when we got in, my husband sat in the back. Okay, we'll get through this, and then we'll get out of here. You know, it'll be over, and we'll get up. And we won't ever go back. That'll be it. And so they started singing and playing, and I've always loved to sing, so I was trying to, you know, I didn't know any of the songs, but I'd try to sing along, and I'd catch them, and I'd sing a little bit, and then they started singing in Spanish. Well, I thought it was Spanish, so I'm singing along in Spanish, and I'm trying to listen and sing the words that they're singing. I caught a couple of them, you know, and he went, oh, God, he told me, he said, oh, God. She doesn't know what singing in tongues is. She doesn't know what singing in the spirit is, you know, because he grew up in this. Of course, he didn't sing because he wasn't spirit-filled, but because he ran from that his whole life. And so, but he knew that's what it was. And so then, and they had their hands up. Well, you know, when you're in the bars and you're out, well, you know, go to the ball games. Everything to me was just fun, whatever they were doing. Well, I would just do it too, you know. I'm not one of these that came in like this, like, what's going on? No, hey, what are we doing, you know? Just jump on in here, you know, have fun. And so that bothered him that I was enjoying it. He was in trouble, you know. And then the pastor started talking about God. And he said, And he talked about God, and then he talked about Jesus, and he talked about the Holy Spirit. But when he talked about God, the anointing, everybody say the anointing. Without the anointing, we can't do anything, because the Spirit of God anoints people to say things that will go right on the inside of us. And when he started talking about God and started talking about Jesus Christ, I said, those were cuss words in our home my whole life. And what I did is I repented for my whole family. I wasn't even giving him my heart yet. I said, oh God, you mean you're real? I hadn't even realized yet that he was answering my prayer that night when I said, is this all there is, you know? But I said, oh God, you mean you're real, and Jesus Christ is really your son? And I mean, I was taking all of it in, and I said, oh, you've been a cuss word my whole life. It was God blank and Jesus Christ this and that. It wasn't, they weren't glorifying God, you know, when they said Jesus Christ. And in the movies, when you hear all those things, you know. And I said, God, just forgive me and my family. I said, we've all just used your names wrong in a bad way all my life. And I still wasn't asking him in my heart yet. I was just asking him to forgive my family. Do you know I never cussed again? That he literally took that, he took that out of my heart. And I cussed a lot. And just because my family cussed a lot, I grew up with cussing a lot, you know. But I never wanted to cuss again. You know, it wasn't something, Jim, that I even made an effort at. It, and it was because of my, everybody say repentance. Repentance. My heart repented that day for those words I said against God. And it erased from me, and he took it from my out from my family. And I was the first one to get saved. My mom said, I don't know why you had to be a heathen. No, the rest of us were heathens, you know. And but let me go back to my, I could go to lost stories, but I'm just going to jump back into church for a minute. And so about halfway through, and they were getting close to making an altar call. I said, Jack, let me out. I said, I got to go to the bathroom. And he said, you got to go to the bathroom? And I'm sitting on this. I said, yeah. And he goes, well, can you just wait for just a few minutes? And I said, no, I need to go have a cigarette. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I just had to go. I had to have a cigarette, you know. And so he said, oh, you can't smoke in church. And I know he was shocked that I didn't know that, but I said, he said, you can't smoke. I said, yes, I can. I said, I saw those men smoking outside. I said, I'll just go to the bathroom. I'll go to the ladies' bathroom and I'll go have a cigarette. Okay, now, ladies, and if you know, when you're in the bathroom, if there's someone smoking, give them a little grace. You know, they might just remember this story. But he said, because actually, I won't even let anybody smoke in my house. I'll give them my back porch. You know, let's go out there, honey. Let's smoke. But I don't have that much grace to let them smoke in the bathroom. You know. But anyway, so. And even his mother let me smoke at her house. We lived there for a season, and I fussed at him later. I said, you should have told me. I shouldn't have been smoking in your mother's house, you know. But anyway, so he said, look, they're wrapping this thing up, because he knew they were about to make an altar call. He'd been in enough altar calls, he knew. And so he said, and then we'll just go on home. We'll slip out and go on home. And so I was mad, you know, that I couldn't have my cigarette. You get mad when you can't have your way, you know, or things like that. So I'm listening. But then I really heard the gospel, and he made an altar call. But before he made the altar call, he said, now the Holy Spirit, no, he said, the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is going to come over the congregation. And he said, and when he does, he said, you're going to jump to your feet, and you're going to run to the front, and you're going to give your life to the Lord. Well, I reached down, and I grabbed hold of the bottom of that pew and held on for dear life. And my husband, he said, what are you doing down there? I said, I don't want a ghost to come on me. And he said, Pam, he said, I said, no, he said, some kind of a ghost is coming on me, and I don't want it, and it's going to jerk me up to my feet and throw me out to the front. I said, I'm not doing it. And so, anyway, he said, well, she didn't know the Father, she didn't know Jesus, and she sure doesn't know the Holy Ghost, you know. He knows I'm in trouble, you know, and he's starting to get in trouble, because he hadn't told me anything. You know, that was on him. He knew it his whole life. And so anyway, but as I'm holding on, I know it had to be an angel just got a hold of me, rose and just jerked me up. And here I go, I'm running down to the front just like he said. And I ran real far down, and I turned around, he ran with me, and thought, if she's got to run, I got to run too. I'm going to have to go with her, you know. And we both gave our lives to the Lord, and we've been together now in this now since, what, 47 years together. And that's a good long run. It's been wonderful. Amen. I didn't know also, after I started getting all my family born again. It took some time, but they started coming around. And my dad said to me once, he said, daughter, and whenever he was real serious, he'd call me daughter. He said, daughter, he said, you need to write a book and you need to be ordained. And I laughed. I remember thinking that was so funny. And I've got 6 books and been ordained and been all over the world, you know, preaching. So But, you know, God sees what the potential is in each one of us. There's potential. Everybody say potential. And there's a calling and a hope. And there's things that God, he says, there's so many things that I can use people's lives for. The creativity, Rachel. Did you ever dream all the things that you can do today? And also, it's not without a battle. Amen? I mean, it's not without, especially with, you know, the scripture, one of the first scriptures, I was thinking about this morning, that when the Bible says, it's no longer I that lives, and we used to sing that song, but Christ that lives in me. I'm going to sing it because I saw us all singing it, if you know it. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He lives, he lives. Jesus lives in me. Now it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And that's one of those scripture songs. And Alan and Dolly, when we were at Living Stones together, and they were the worship leaders for a while, they taught scripture songs. And we learned so many. Everywhere we looked in the Bible, hundreds and hundreds of songs now, we know scriptures because we sang them. Isn't that cool? Yes. So anyway, we got into the things of God together. Let me see where we need to go from there. Let's see. Oh, I know what I need to. I need to get my phone. I made a little thing in here I need to show you all or tell you. Y'all still with me? Are y'all still praying? Are y'all praying in tongues for me yet?
Yes.
Okay,
thank
you. I had one friend one time. I said, now you help me today. Because I get too many stories going in my mind at one time or something. I'm not nervous. I just talk too much. So I said, if I get lost, would you help me? And I stopped, and I'm standing here. And I am starting to sweat because I can't think. And she goes, smoking. You were talking about smoking. And I said, oh, okay. I said, when I was she remembered my spot. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to jump ahead to... So Jack and I really, we got involved in the things of God, and it was good. And then after a couple of years, God moved us back to Illinois, as we were living in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And when we got in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we got saved, I was really excited. And they gave us a little book. You know, when they give you something when you get saved, I don't know how everybody else did. They came home and threw it in a drawer. I sat in that, and I would read it. And they said, take care. They took us in the back, and they said, read these scriptures and hide them in your heart. You know, and there were, I think it was five. And so I would read those and hide them in my heart. And I'd have my cigarette on the side of my bed, you know, my Bible on my lap. And I'm sitting there reading and hiding those in my heart, you know, because the outside hadn't changed much yet. But oh, I tell you, the inside was getting something good that could help me, you know. And so so that's what I was doing. I was hiding the word in my heart. And and then one day, and we got plugged into a really good church. And the pastor had been Baptist, and he got Spirit-filled, so he was kind of half and half, you know. And but he had gotten Spirit-filled. He had gotten Spirit-filled and was very excited about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it came up at our church about going to Washington for Jesus, and it was in 1979. And it really filled my heart to go. And I said, Jack, I said, can we go? He said, Pam, we don't have money to go. Both of us to go to Washington and, you know, the whole trip and everything. And I said, let's cash in our life insurance. We can cash in our life insurance. He said, Pam. I said, and we'll pray that God will keep us alive till we can get back and get it turned back on, you know. Get it back. And, you know, he went for that. And so we cashed in our life insurance and got that money. And so, and we had gotten a brochure. And on the brochure, this is where God had told me to jump in here about this part. And Ann Jimenez and John Jimenez were leading this thing. And it had a brochure, and at the top it says 2 Chronicles 7:14, which everybody in this room is familiar with, I'm sure, now with that scripture. But back then, it just jumped inside of me, you know. And God gave me a song for that. And so on the way to the airport in our bus, because I think we had maybe 25, 27 people from our church going to this. It was called Washington for Jesus, and it was going to be their first great, great big rally. There was over 50,000 people of us walking, just like you saw on this last one. And but this was in 1979, and so we got there. But on the bus ride, this is a song God gave me, because he gives me a lot of scriptures and he puts them in a song. But it's a If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If my people will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. And I will, and he added this line, and I will send revival to America again. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. So we worshiped on the bus, and they kind of learned it, and we sang it on the bus. Well, when we got to the big rally, and we began to walk, and you walked and walked and walked, and we would pray, and we'd sing worship songs and stuff. And God wanted, he put this in and reminded me of this, because it's so sweet. This lady named Mozilla, a precious little black sister, and she was from St. Louis, and I was from Illinois. And so, you know, so she was walking with us, and she was an elderly lady, and she walked a long way with us, and we just kind of took her under our wing and loved on her. And but she got where she just was wearing out, and every now and then you'd see an emergency station or where they could go in and be refreshed or helped if they needed help. And she said, honey, I just can't walk anymore for a little while. I just need to rest for a while. And I saw one of those little stations coming up, and I said, well, Mozilla, let's just go in there. I'll take you over there. And I told Jack, I said, come on. And so we went up, and Jack waited for me, and I got her up in there and sat her down, and they were giving her some juice and just, you know, and she said, now, honey, you go on. I said, oh, no. I said, because you'll get lost. You came to the thing by herself, and I felt responsible, you know, we should keep her with us. And she said, no, honey. She said, I'll find you. There's 50,000 people. I'll find you, honey. I'll find you later. And I hated to go, but I thought, no, I better stay with my own group, you know. So I hugged her, And here's what the Lord wanted me to tell you. As I was stepping out of the van, I was just like the second step, stepping down. You know how you remember exactly what you were doing? And he said this to me. He said, you'll have a reward for that. And I thought, what's that about? And I heard it real plain, like I'm talking to you. He said, you'll have a reward for that. And I stepped on out. I said, have a reward for what? He said, for that random act of kindness that you just did, for that little kind. Yeah. He said, I see everything. He said, if you don't think I notice every kind little thing that everybody does, he said, I do. Amen. And he says, and there are rewards in heaven for every kind thing you've ever done. Isn't that the sweetest thing you ever? And I didn't think anything about helping her up in there. But you know, later on, she found us. Mozilla goes, honey, you know, we were way, way down. I mean, we walked, you know, all day long. God made her find us. But isn't that the sweetest thing? That just knowing something, because sometimes you think I never do enough stuff, you know, I messed up on this, or you know, I haven't changed in this area yet, and God's just saying, I love you, yes. And He knows. It says He's perfecting things that concern us. So hopefully, it still concerns you that you're not changed in a certain area, because He's perfecting that for you. Amen. Yes. So anyway, that was really sweet. And then we got up on the Capitol building steps. I want y'all to know, when we stepped down to the Capitol steps, have you ever been there? Has anybody even been there and stepped up on, several of you have? And when we stepped up on the Capitol steps that day, and we all talked about it later, the heaven came down upon top of us. We felt the presence of God in a way I'd never felt God before. And He was so in this march for us. And so... And Pastor Darrell, my friends, they were our first Christian friends that we met when we moved back. And we're all going to see them up at the minister's conference. We're all going to be staying together in the same hotel, so we're going to get to know them with Scott and Terry, too. But anyway, Pastor Darrell got to hold the Christian flag and the American flag, and he was so excited. And I saw him up there, and just so blessed. And I looked around the place and just saw how awesome it was for God that we were all there together. And it was a peaceful, we were there very peaceably, and just, we were there to pray. And it was like a May Day, and it was in May. It was a May Day kind of thing, that God was going to do great things out of that. Well, we didn't know, and I just saw Jonathan Kahn. How many know who Jonathan Kahn is? Most of us have heard him on TV. And he was talking about, he said, you know, we're having this big rally coming up, the one they just had, and which I really wanted to go to that, but it didn't work out this time for me. I didn't turn in my life insurance, but I didn't feel really called to go. I just wanted to go. Because this time I could have prayed, and God would have brought me the money if I was supposed to go, you know. So, but anyway, So he, let me go back for a second. I get this little spot. Okay, we're Jonathan Kahn. Okay, anybody else got it? Okay, Jonathan Kahn. And now remember, it could be you up here instead, so give me some grace, okay.
You got all the grace you need.
Okay, so Jonathan Kahn. I was watching Jonathan Kahn on television, and he said, well, you know, back in 1979, he said, I went to a march up there in Washington. I said, oh my gosh, Jonathan Kahn was there with us. And he said, I was a new Christian. I didn't even know what in the world I was even doing there, you know. And he was talking about all this, and he didn't know why he was there. And he connected with Ann Jimenez and her husband, John. And I thought, oh my gosh. And he said, the first most important thing that I knew that God did for the nation was in 1979 at Washington for Jesus. And we cashed in our insurance and we got to go. Isn't that awesome? Yes. And so then this new one, this next one that we've watched on TV was The Turn. That's what it was called, The Turn. Some of y'all, I know some of you watched and listened on that. We've been watching those. And it was about the same amount of people that we had when we went. And the Jimenezes were there again, and all these people just connecting again. And God wants to turn our nation around. And
yes,
so,
he does.
Anyway, so that's what I wanted to share about that part that he put on my heart, was to tell you about that we got to be part of Washington for Jesus. And it was an incredible prayer time up there. And also, he gave me some things that we're going to say together today. I've got Psalm 91, and I only made 25, so if we can kind of spread them out, you know. Let me just keep one up here. There we go. Thank you. And don't start reading it now, because we're going to do it this minute. Then we're going to do a prayer together. And I got 20. Well, here, let me give you these two. And you do the same thing with these. Maybe the next person next to you can hold the prayer, okay? And then you can... No, you can put that phone away. No, I'm teasing. And here you can... Just maybe every other one or however... I have... Just so everybody has this. We're going to pray that out together and make some declarations in a second. The Lord started just pulling me into some... How many of you ever heard of Dr. Clarice Fluitt? Has anybody heard of Dr. Clarice Fluitt? Oh my gosh, y'all. This is one of the best books I ever read in my life. Let me tell you the name again. For those of you that love powerful books, this is called Rescript Your Future. Rescript Your Future. It's all declarations and powerful promises from God. And that's the whole book is that. It's for your future. But that's the name of it, is Rescript Your Future. It's power-packed proclamations for life, business, and government. And her name is Dr. Clarice Fluitt. What a mighty woman of God. She was on at Sid Ross. And I think I order everything they put up there every week.
Yeah.
Rose, I can't help it. I just have to have it, you know. And so, God gave me some scriptures and things we're going to read out of this book together, too. We're going to make some declarations out of this. Because this is what God wanted us to do today, is make some declarations together. And I just threw in that other so you can get to know what a crazy person I am. That God can love anybody, no matter what stage of life you're in. And he does have a special call for everybody. I want to read some scriptures to you that I had printed these out some years ago, and I had them somewhere in my room. But somehow they were on top of my copy machine today, which I don't remember pulling them out at all. And when I was printing out what Pastor Terry gave me to put on the sign-up sheets in the hall, if you can sign up for prayer. A time that you can pray the next couple days. So I'm just going to read these to you quickly, and then we're going to get into praying Psalms 91, and I'm going to tell you what God did with me with Psalm 91 also. He gave me a revelation about this. But 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship," and I thought of your church right away, believers' fellowship, "with the true God, because we live in fellowship with his Son, with Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life." Philippians 3:10 says, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death." And suffering means to die to self and to crucify the flesh. You don't want to start beating yourself up. That's not what it means, you know. I mean, I might have read that and thought, what's that mean? I suffer myself, you know. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. But we die to self every day. And then crucifying the flesh and putting down the flesh. So the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 John 2, 1 through 15 says, did I put all 15? I think I did, yeah. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. I start to say religious. He's truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Now, that wasn't a comment I made. I'm reading the scriptures. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. A new commandment. Dear friends, this is verse 7. I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one that you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living in it. For the darkness is disappearing. And God put this in caps. For the darkness, everybody say, the darkness is disappearing.
Darkness is disappearing.
And the true light is already shining.
The true light is already shining.
And that's what God is doing now in the spirit realm. If anyone claims, I'm living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves one another or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living in and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. I tell you, if you pick up an offense, and God reminded me about that today too. He said, anytime somebody picks up an offense, and we probably all have and had to learn to let, and he said, every time you have an offense, you know, or a hurt that you nurture or you share it, and he said, then you build a fence between you and that person. And he said, and I don't want fences between my people. He wants every fence to be torn down. And we do it through what? Forgiveness. And once you forgive, you don't let, when it, something comes to your mind or you see that person or think about them, I bless them. That's under the blood. It's not. And after a while, when you see them, you just love them with all your heart. And you've cast down the imaginations and all those other high things, and you're able to really, truly walk in the love. But you start by faith to forgive. Amen?
Amen.
It's not by feeling. You just forgive by faith. It's a choice. Okay, and then verse 13. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith, because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith, because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children, because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith, because you know the Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith, because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts. You have won your battle with the evil one. I'll tell you, if you've got Jesus in your heart, you have won the battle.
Amen.
You know, there's some things you're going to walk through and walk out, and it's none of the devil's business. You're going to walk that out with God. Amen?
Amen.
Because he sees you perfect in his perfect love. Do not love this world. And this is the last scripture on this, 15, verse 15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only these things: craving for a physical pleasure, a craving for anything, for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. And then I've got Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, and that scripture starts with the word but. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, because of all the other stuff that's up ahead of that. But for me and my house, we're going this way.
Amen.
But for me and my house, you know. And then, because I know, how many have that? I felt to ask y'all this. How many have that somewhere in your house? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, hands up all over. I know that's one of the things. My daughter-in-law bought me that. She knows I like anything with Christian writing on it, you know. That was one of my Christmas presents. Let us therefore all serve him, God Almighty, who gave us his only begotten Son to redeem all of fallen mankind, and him, Jesus the Christ, who died on the cross for our sins to make us righteous, and him, Holy Spirit, who came as the Comforter to live within us to empower us for holy wonder-working power and to guide us into all truth. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
That's all good word, isn't it?
Yes,
and the Lord said to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because this is, everybody say, Spirit-filled. This is a Spirit-filled church. How many know God's called you here?
Amen.
And this is your church now too?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And but I remember when I was in church, and I didn't know, not the initial time, but when we went back and we got in that church, it was a spiritual church. And they didn't pray a whole lot in tongues, but I heard somebody go, somebody else got up and knew what it meant. You know, said, you know, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's what that, I was trying to connect the dots, you know, because I hadn't heard teaching on it and stuff yet. And I said, oh, you know, I said, I want to do that. I said, Lord, if you're speaking through people, I want to do that. Anybody else, was anybody else like that? Just instead of saying, I don't want that, you know, let me get out of here, you know. But, and then the pastor did talk about that. He said, you know, now we had a word, in tongues and an interpretation. And he said, that's the same as a prophecy. Like if you got up and just had a word from the Lord. And then he began to teach more on. I was learning more about it. And he put me with the teenagers, and I was not a teacher, but they didn't have anybody else. You ever been in a spot and you were the only one that they threw you in, you know? And I mean, they could beat me up. Some of the girls had hit me with their hip and nearly knocked me down. They didn't want me in there, you know? And so I did, but it just kept me on my knees. I just prayed all the time, and we had outpouring. I could stand up here for hours to tell you stories that came out of that group of stuff that God did through that time. But I'm not going to, because I lose my place, and then Rosa have to help me again. Okay, so we're back at prayer. Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I forgot you. I should have started just praying in tongues. It would come back to me. But I told you, you have to stick with me. Have I lost anybody yet? Guard the back door. Don't let them out. Okay. Nobody leave. Yep, so praying in tongues. Okay, so I was going to tell you how I got the baptism. First, I'll tell you how Jack received. Because here he is in a spirit-filled church. And our pastor, he loved our pastor, and our pastor loved him like a son that he never had a son. And so, Jack was even a head elder. You know, he was just on fire, you know, and all this, but he wasn't spirit-filled yet. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. And so our pastor got up one day, and he looked real bad. He was white as a sheet, and I said, oh my gosh, he looks like he's dying, you know. And anyway, he stopped, and he said, I've got to tell you all right now, I need the men of the church to get up here. He said, I'm having a heart attack. And my husband, well, he's climbing pews. He's walking over those pews, and everybody's running up there. And the love of God poured a baptism on him. The love of God poured that language out of him, because the love he had for our pastor, when he reached out, Jack reached out to touch him, he said he felt something down in here. He felt something down in here, down in his stomach. And he said, oh, what's that? And I love this. I just got to come over here and just look for a second. There's this lady. Are you praying in tongues, sweetheart? I think you got it. Don't choke on that thing that's in your mouth. Okay. Those are the kind of distractions you love. Huh? So anyway, Jack said, oh, what was that? What am I feeling, you know? And he couldn't speak. And so he put his hand out again. And this time, oh, and he told me, because, okay, by this time I had gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I do have to tell that, because I bugged him. How many of you wives ever bugged your husband if you received the baptism first? I know you don't want to put your hands. Brenda, I knew it. I knew Brenda would have done it too. But because you want everybody to have what you got, right? Yes. It's of God, you know. So, but anyway, I said, oh, where did I read? I know one time I told the Lord, I said, in one of the services before my husband received, I have to tell this part first. I'm going to back it up. And so I said, okay. Well, first thing I did, I got a Pat Robertson record. Now, come on, I'm 72, so I had a record, you know. I didn't have that kind of record, but I had a record. And so I locked myself in my bedroom, and I was still smoking. So I did have my cigarette in there, and I was trying to get the baptism. And so I was listening, and Pat Robertson, it was How to Receive the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Spirit. So I'm listening to that, and at this time, we're still in Quincy. We're not back in that other church yet, so I'm listening in. So when he gets to the point, he says, now, just let that language come up out of your belly. And I went, I could feel something. I felt something going on in my belly. And I thought, well, that's supposed to come up. And this is coming out. So I said, okay. And so I listened to the record again. Let's start it over. And I listened to Pat Robertson again and got to that part. And he said, now you have, and I missed this part. I said, okay, there it is. He said, now you have to use your voice. I said, okay, I got to use my voice. So this is what we did. And he said, now open your mouth and God will fill it and he'll use your voice. So I went, ah. Ah! I'm sorry, I know that sounds awful. Here's my prayer language. Ah! And I said, I feel it, but I don't think it's right, you know? And so I did that over and over, and that's all that came out was that, ah! But I thought, that didn't sound like those people had, you know? And so I said, well, Lord, I think maybe it's not for everyone. I think it says that in the Bible, not for everyone. So I'm supposed to have just that wonderful feeling, and I thank you for that. So that's it. Thanks. And so I laid it down for a while, and then in this little church up in Quincy, Jack got real in there. You know, that's where we started going up in Quincy, and he said, "Honey, do you think we could join this church?" And I said, and I was having my cigarette, and I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Why do you want to join?" He said, "Well, I just think we ought to. We're going to be living up here for a while." And I said, "Well, okay." And he said, "Well, they do have a list of some things that's on here that you have to do as a member." I said, "Okay." Well, I said, "Read the list." And he read through a couple of them. I said, "Okay, that sounds good." And he says, and he's read this real fast. He says, and you can't smoke. And da da da. I said, "Stop, stop. Wait a minute. You mean if we're a member of this church, we can't smoke?" And he said, "Don't you think you could quit?" I said, "No, I can't quit." And we had a big fuss over that, you know. And I said, "Well," and you know, and it would make me mad because he'd go on Wednesday nights, and I don't want to go on Wednesday nights. There was a show on TV I liked on Wednesday nights. So I'd stay home, watch that show. And so he'd run on without me. And then finally we got to this other church, and I did get water baptized at that church, and I remember it was one of the most glorious things that ever happened to me. I came out and I remember my feet were squishing and I was singing, but I thought something happened to me in that water, you know, and I really loved that. I felt a new separation there. But then this other time I finally said to the Lord, I said, "Okay, I'm going to go down," and our church was like, it was an old theater, so you had to walk down like a theater, you know. And I said, "When I get down there," I released my faith, and here's where I released my faith. I said, "I'm going to go down there today, and this day," I said, "when my knees hit the floor, they were so wore out trying to pray for me to get the Holy Ghost. No one could help me get the Holy Ghost. Forget it, you know. They were just, it's like, oh God, she's coming up again. Give us strength, God." So I'm going up, and I said, but this is what I said this time. I said, "When my knees hit the floor," because I always got down on my knees up at the altar. "When my knees hit the floor," I said, I'm gonna have a prayer language come out, and I said, "And I'll never smoke again." And so I went like that, and my knees hit the floor, and I put up my hands, and I went, "Aramashiko korama shake, aramashako dini ma maso korama haya, ejelele de bisara dandande," and I never had another cigarette. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what, though? I had to just get tired of being sick and tired, and I was tired of not being like where the other people were. I wanted to have God use me in a service. I wanted to have a tongue and interpretation, and you know, God saw my heart. I know God said, "Oh, she finally got it." Well, then my husband, I said, "Oh, honey, you got to have this." He said, Pam, now it's okay for you, you know. And he said, "If I ever do get it, I'll tell you one thing: I'm not telling you." Here's the pastor. We're back. The pastor's dying, you know. And Jack's got this in his stomach, so he put his hand on him. And the second time he put his hand on him, in front of the whole church, he went, "Aramashikaramasokoradadadasadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad so Pastor fell on his knees, and everybody was, you know, just rejoicing. We knew something big had happened. And on the way home, Jack said, I got my prayer language when I put my hand on him. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's such a good testimony. So God put it in my heart today, and he said, there's some of you, and you haven't received your prayer language. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't grow up with this stuff. You know, I held on to the pew. I didn't want a ghost to come on me. You know, I feel your pain, you know. And I didn't, you know, but you think about it, you get to get a language that's known in heaven, and you don't have to learn it. You know, God didn't say, now you got to go to school and you got to learn Holy Ghost language. No, it just rolls out of you. It just pours out of you. And the more you use it, the more it comes. I know that a lot of times they'll say, well, you might just get one or two words. And I've heard people say they had one word, you know, or they had a couple little things. And Sandy Brown used to just tell people, just say abba-dabba-doo, you know, and it'll start coming. And she said, one girl thought that was her prayer language. She went, abba-dabba-doo, abba-dabba-doo, abba-dabba-doo. And she finally got a prayer language just saying abba-dabba-doo, you know. But because it just sounded, I guess, enough different that she could start there, you know. But listen, When we get a prayer language, and this is why it's so important today, and we're going to pray in just a little bit, but you and I can only pray so much the Word of God that we learned. We can only pray so much out of our heart. The Bible says, the heartfelt, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, making much power available as we pray. And so we know we have that going with the Word when we pray. Yes. But even that we run out because the Lord says, now there's a place you can step in, and when you don't know how to pray in Romans 8, when you don't know how to pray as you ought to, the Holy Spirit will help us, Rose, and yes. He'll quicken us. Amen. And we'll pray out things that only He knows we can pray. And we'll pray them out, and then He'll watch over them to perform them. He watches over His Word. And praying in tongues is more of the Word of God speaking through you and me. And it's praying out the things. It's Holy Spirit and Father working together, yes. And then the angels work together. So how many would like to go farther in that direction than you ever have before?
Yes, amen.
Just show God your hand. Say, yes, I'm here. I want to do more. And the Lord said, don't stay in the shallow. Some of you have had, and this I think this happens a lot when you get a prayer language. And maybe you, okay, now I got my prayer language, but you never use it, you know. And I think we've all been in seasons when we didn't pray as much in tongues. But this is a season until Jesus comes that we need to be using our prayer language.
Yes.
And because you can't miss God. When you pray in the Spirit, you're hitting exactly what God needs to go. Boom, boom, boom. He needs to be, needs it prayed out. And He said, now I need you to come out into the deeper water. And your language grows and you get more and more. I'm going to tell you something. When I was in Italy, I went there. I was picking up a book that I had published over there. And the lady that took me all over and owned the publishing company, her husband suddenly died, 30 years old, just boom, was gone. And he had a Christian bookstore. And she read a copy of my book that my pastor in Belgium had sent her. We were in Belgium for a while too. And then she said, I want you to do your book, and I want to take you all over Italy. And she opened doors all over Italy. If I told her, I'd be up here for hours telling you what happened in Italy. But anyway, so now I'm in Italy again. Okay, I got to get out of Italy. I got to get back here. Okay, but when we were in Italy, things began to happen in Italy by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I'm sorry. I feel like there was something there. We'll bring it back if you want me to tell it, Lord, because I got to keep moving. Okay. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, when we were in Italy, everything was about praying. Oh, and I got it. God, He saved me again. Here's what he did. After I was in Italy for a week and praying all over Italy. How many were just now praying for me? Because I lost that. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank you publicly for that. So here's when I came back from Italy. Here's what I did. Here's my prayer language after Italy. I spoke Italian. I had Italian tongues when I came back. Oh my gosh, I know. But then from then, God opened my eyes and I saw things in the spirits. I saw demons. I saw things on people that started coming off. These two people in the back, they looked like pig faces. I was so drunk in the spirit, they had to carry me back there to take me to the pigs. You know, drunk. I couldn't even see. Oh my gosh, I was so drunk in the spirit. And God brought me there because there was a spirit of heaviness over this church. Those people were on suicide watch. Excuse me. And pastor had talked them into coming that day. They hadn't been in church and they were on suicide watch. They both got totally free and they got drunk in the spirit and got completely delivered of that spirits that were on them going to kill them. And so, anyway. Okay, let me look at the clock. Now listen, we're going to pray for people at the end too that want to stay and go deeper. I can't imagine not wanting to go deeper. I still jump in for going deeper. How many of you would like to just go deeper in God?
Yes.
But we're going to pray. And then if you have to leave, you can leave. And I'm not saying we're going to run over a whole lot because my husband says, she really is a miracle. She can talk without even breathing. I don't have to stop and breathe. So, you know, we can do this. But so you've got Psalm 91. Have y'all got Psalm 91?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me pray for us before we start. Father, I thank you. This has just been such a time. I just thank you that I have an opportunity to get to know your people and that we can laugh together and love together and pray together and just love each other right where we're at, Father, and that you're connecting our hearts today. And as we read this today, Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I thank you, Father, that you have equipped us to walk free of anything, just even as Jesus did. Okay, all right, all right. And he wants me to tell you what he showed me. Because I know I'm going to go back to this right here. He gave me a vision, and it's a funny vision. And I saw Jesus and the disciples, and he went like this. He said, okay, guys, come here, come here. It's like he's gathering you out. He said, okay, come here. Stand around me. He said, listen, guys. He said, before we go out, he said, there's a virus out here. He said, they're calling it a COVID. And so he said, we need to suit up. He said, we got to go out there. So he said, and I'm watching this like a cartoon. So they put, he said, put your gloves on. So Jesus told the disciples, put your gloves on. So they put their gloves on. He said, okay, we need to wear a mask. So they put on their masks. And he said, now when you go out, he said, stay about 6 feet apart. And he said, don't touch anybody. Just stretch out your hand like this. Stretch forth your hand like that. And I'm trying not to laugh watching that. I thought, Jesus. And then he turned and he looked at me and he said, I'd never do that. And I'd never tell them that. And he said, they are like sheep to the slaughter. And he's looking right in my eyes. They're like sheep to the slaughter. And even my people are like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, this is not of me. He said, you take authority over that.
Amen.
And then I said, Father. And I went one time with a mask on too. And I only wore it that one time. I wore it into HEB. And everybody, there was no one without a mask. And I felt like I was in a horror movie. I felt like I was in a bad movie. You couldn't talk to anybody, couldn't smile to anybody. Everybody's got their hand. Now they're still touching everything, you know. But I mean, it's just, it creeped me. I mean, the Spirit of God grieved in me. Have you ever had the Spirit of God grieving you? The Spirit of God grieved in me. I couldn't stand it. And I said, I'm not coming back in here like this. And I said, I got out of there and I said, Father, when you walked through the people and they couldn't stone you, they couldn't see you, they didn't know you were there, you just walked right on through and went right on out of them. I said, put that on me that you had on you so I can go into these places and I don't have to wear that mask so I can smile at people, I can pray for people. And I said, And if you're not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. If you wouldn't do that, and when you walk the earth, I'm not doing that either. Now, just stay with me, okay? Just stay with me, because he's talking to me. And so he's telling me this about all of this. And so I said, okay, Lord, then. And I said, so put that on me. Put that on me. Whatever, if that's a mantle, whatever kind of covering that is on you, put it on me. And so he'd already had me reading Psalm 91. I was already reading Psalm 91. And I was already taking communion, and we remember him. We know we're healed. And I was doing those things, too. And he also told me this. Hold my place there where I'm going. So he told me, let me go back. Okay, I had shingles for 4 months. And the Lord told me why. He said, because I never hardly ever get sick. I mean, this whole, you know, all these years I don't get sick. And he said, you got the shingles because, he said, you had the word in you. He said, but you hadn't stirred it up. It had been a long time since you started speaking the scriptures over yourself. And I hadn't been doing that. And he said, you would not have had the shingles if you hadn't done that. And that's what he told me. He said, you didn't keep the word going and alive in you, keeping it, you know, working in you. And so I was already on Psalm 91. I'd already been doing that. So I needed to go back and bring that back in. Okay. So I went there and I said, I'm going to go to Walmart, God, let's go. We're going to go to Walmart. So I go into Walmart and no one even saw me. I was the invisible woman, flat out. I mean, I could walk up to you and it's like you're looking right through me. You don't even see me. And I said, oh, you put that thing on me. You put that on me that was on you. God, you put that on me. And no one looked at me, no one paid attention. But you know, and I was buying a few little birthday things. But every time I've gone into a store, And I've had him say, oh, you need a mask? I said, oh, no, thank you, I don't need it. And then I just go on. And no one stops me, you know. And I do it because God told me to do that. Amen. Now, maybe he didn't tell you to do that. You do what God told you to do. Yeah. But that's what he told me to do. And so, I went, every time I go up to checkout, everybody up there has a need, needs a breakthrough, a life-changing breakthrough. This one lady, she was about to faint, And I said, I'm so sorry. And I always say their name. I said, I'm so sorry, Mary, or whatever, that you've got to wear a mask. I'm so sorry that you're struggling today. And she said, oh, this thing's just killing me. I hate this mask on my face. It's making me so sick. And God's given me this prayer I pray for people called the What's the One Thing. And I say, what's the one thing? I always take their hand. What's the one thing? What's the most important thing on your heart that you need God to do for you? He wants to give you a breakthrough. And God gives the most marvelous breakthroughs. Just one thing. And she said, oh, she said, we just found out that my nephew has COVID and they don't know if he's going to make it. So we got to pray. No one got in the line. No one got in line behind us or anything. And so every time I've gone into a store, and God does the same thing with my hair. He had me, I had three visions of my hair like this three times in the same place in the highway. On the third time, I said, okay, I don't understand this, but you're giving me this vision of black and white hair. And it was all about, when I finally had it done, I didn't know if it looked good. It wasn't about that. God was showing me to do it and didn't even talk to me about it, just gave me this vision. So you know how us girls will pull down the visor and you'll look at yourself and go, well, I guess I look okay. I don't know, you know. So I pulled that down and I'm looking in the little mirror. And then God spoke to me. He said, you're my black and white girl. He said, there's no compromise. And that's all he said to me. And now he leads me to people to do the one thing prayer that he gave me. He's got songs for all that stuff too. And I usually sing to people too. But singing that, and then when people stop me, and he said, my husband will tell you, I can hardly go out where people don't. When I was greeted in the back, where's my buddy that greeted me in the back? Where's Bunny's husband? Oh, they're not here today. Okay, well, he stopped me in the back. He said, oh, your hair. I said, oh, he needs a breakthrough. He needs a breakthrough. But God has the things that people name is almost always for somebody else where they need a breakthrough. They don't hardly ever say anything about themselves, you know. And so anyway, I just wanted to tell you that God will give you unusual ways. I only share that to tell you. He'll give you unusual ways to reach people and to help people. And those are some of mine, you know. And okay, so are y'all ready with Psalm 91?
Yes.
Okay. Let's stand together for the reading of this. God wants you to know if you do these couple of things, hide the word in your heart and daily, because we know every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. So if we hide Psalm 91 and take communion together, and here's what I say, nothing evil can come in me. And if I don't have it in me, then I don't have anything evil to give you. And we have Holy Ghost parties in our home every month, and it's like 10 different churches that come, you know, different people from different places, and that's our confession of faith, that no one's going to, if you come in and you're under attack, you'll leave healed. Amen? And because that's who we are in God. And so he wants us all to be healed today and whole. And when we know people are under attack, we're praying them through. Because we are going to go through things, but we're going to go through. Amen? Okay, let's read this together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in whom I will trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will I, yes. His faithfulness will be my shield and rampart. You will not fear terror of night, nor the hour that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If I say, the Lord is my refuge, and I make the Most High my dwelling, no harm will overtake me. No disaster will come near my home. For he will command his angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. They will lift up they will lift me up in their hands so that I will not strike my foot against a stone. I will tread on the lions and the cobra, and I will trample on the great lion and the serpent should any come around. Because he loves me, says the Lord, because we love him, then he'll rescue us. He will protect us. For he acknowledges our name. He will call on us. We will call on him, right? And he will answer us, and he will deliver us and honor us and be with us in trouble. With long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. I'm sorry I messed up reading that too. But okay. Now, what the other one that you have, I might have to borrow somebody's. Can I borrow yours? Okay. This is Annette Capps. You know Charles Capps? Y'all remember Charles and Annette Capps? Well, this was given to us, and this is one we've been praying, but and it's on, there's a little part on the back of it, too. Here, come up here, Rose. You can read this. This is Rose, my friend Rose. Prayer for the nation and election. Okay, let's start with where it says, thank you, Father, okay? Thank you, Father, for your word has declared that I am strong in the Lord and the power of your might.
Therefore, I stand on behalf of my city, state, my nation, in the name of Jesus. I speak forth the word and declare that the hidden things are now revealed and the forces of darkness are exposed by the light of God and his word. By the power of Jesus' name, I bind every spirit that has attempted to infiltrate our government with darkness. You are rendered harmless and ineffective now in Jesus' name. Our leaders have ears to hear, and they now follow the good shepherd, and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. Angels of God, go forth and see to it that people are moved into positions of leadership by divine appointment. Those who are called will find their rightful place and fulfill the will of God. No weapon formed against this nation shall prosper. I speak peace, prosperity, and blessing, and call forth the will of God to be manifest here and now. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. Also, I saw three people today. Rose was one, and I saw Brenda and Beverly Lauderdale. And I've known all these ladies for a long time. If you guys would come up real quickly and just come up here and stand by me, Brenda and Beverly. First of all, I'm going to ask them if the Lord has something. And I know Beverly says, I have one thing. I said, good, that's the one thing. You know, that's her one thing. And for Brenda. And then we want to pray for everybody. We want to end in prayer. But Rose, you want to go first?
Yeah, this morning the Lord woke me up and just really placed on my heart. The Lord woke me up this morning and really placed on my heart that the Lord is with me. And we sang that. And then he gave me three pages of scriptures. And I'm called to teach. And so the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and he was with Abraham. And he says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you, Joshua. And it said to Mary, when the angel appeared to her, said, the Lord is with you. And in Hebrews, it says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never fail you. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not.
Amen.
And what the Lord wanted me to tell you is that you're not in this alone.
Amen.
And that no matter what you face, that the Lord is with you. And you are a world overcomer because the Lord is with you. And every time he says, I am with you, he says, fear not. God does not want us to fear. So the first thing we have to address in our lives is the fear factor. And we get rid of it and we take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And I love what Pastor Barry said. She said, I walked down that aisle and I said, when my knees hit
the ground.
The ground. I'm going to pray in the spirit. And what God really placed on my heart is the power. It's not just name it and claim it. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires. We delight.
Yes.
And then he gives us something to bring about. So he'll give you a desire. He gave me a desire to move back to this area back in April last year, and he gave my husband the same desire at the same time. And so when he gives you that desire, he will bring it to pass.
Yes.
In Job 22:27, he says, you shall decide. You decided that when my knees hit the ground, I'm going to pray in tongues. We have so much power that we don't even realize. In the name of Jesus, we're not in this alone. So we decide, we frame our world by the words that we speak, and we decide, and we then after we decide, we decree. And I love what the Amplified says in Psalms 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed on the shadow of the Almighty. And then the Amplified says, and I will say of the Lord. And then in verse 3 it says, and the Lord will be my rock and my defense. So I want you to know, it's not just naming or claiming, it's getting intimate with Jesus. Intimacy is into me, you see. And when you get into intimacy with the Lord, he will guide you. And like Joseph, everywhere Joseph went, he prospered because the Lord is with him. And so I want you to know, have that attitude, because the Lord is with you, you will prosper.
Oh,
amen.
Good.
Yes. Beverly. Nadine and also Dolly, and I just went to a prayer conference, and we just got back.
Billy Brand's up in Prayer Mountain.
Yes, yeah. This was the brand at Prayer Mountain. And what I want to say is that what I'm going to share there were big name speakers. But what came up in my heart when I was driving back on Tuesday was something that someone just was pulled out of the audience and or the congregation, and they said it, and after they said it, then Billy Brim brought it back up at the tent meeting on Monday. And so when I was driving back Tuesday, up in my heart came all of this particular thing. So I want to share it with you. It has to do with heart. And if you'll notice, you said repentance from the heart, and that faith moves the heart of God. It's all about heart.
Yes.
Amen. And what he was saying, this gentleman, was that God has, we are to guard our heart with the coming of the Lord. And then he named five things. And I ended up typing it out for my prayer group, talked over to my daughter. I was listing them to them. So I just want to name these five things.
Yes.
If you want to be your heart prepared for the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Remain humble. Now, what I'm saying, I want to say is, while I was telling my daughter, remain humble, she said, be humble. I said, no, remain humble. And the Spirit of God just rubs up in me. He said, he that is humble shall be exalted.
Yes.
So every one of us that are humble, we're going to be exalted.
Yes.
But you see, we're to remain humble. You see what happens. We rise up, we're exalted, stay humble. We rise up, we're exalted, remain humble. So it's not be humble, it's remain humble. The second thing is be obedient. When God tells you to do something, or the Spirit of God leads you to do something, be obedient. The third thing was don't carry offense. And the Lord spoke this to me yesterday, and you said it today. If you don't pick up offense, you won't be carrying it. Okay.
Yeah.
So times something just kind of flashes. We've all had this, y'all. All we've got to do is walk through a day out in the world, and you can pick up offense. So you just say, I'm not having that. I'm not having offense. Then be quick to forgive. And the last thing was, in everything you do, do it with the love of God. And that if we do those five things, if we have those five things in our heart, it protects our heart for the coming of the Lord. And like I said, there were names, and I could tell you about what we prayed about. But I like things where I live every day that are in my heart so that I can walk out.
Amen.
Amen.
You see how God's connecting the dots?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, Brenda.
The Lord put on my heart to tell you. You might already heard this. You might have, you might even believe it in your mind. But God wants you well.
Amen.
That's it, period. It's already done over 2,000 years ago. Are your sins paid for? That's what he told me one day. Did I pay for your sins, Brenda? I was diagnosed with MS in 2007. Had no clue about healing, hadn't read the Bible ever. Really not much at all, maybe a few scriptures, but I've been born again. But I didn't know the heart of God. I didn't know his will. But he asked me, are your sins paid for? I said, yes. He said, the same time I paid for your healing.
Amen.
I said, but how can I be experiencing these things? He said, because you don't know you were healed. You don't know that. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing 1 Peter 2:24. Mm-hmm. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed.
Yes.
John 10:10, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I need you in the area of healing to step on the other side of the cross.
That's good.
And look back on it and reach out by faith and take what I provided by grace.
That's good.
We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And you know your healing, whatever you need, is inches away in your spirit.
Yes.
That's it.
That's good.
So right then, you know, I didn't have any kind of teaching other than those two scriptures. But I remember a righteous indignation rose up in me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I refuse you, MS. I don't care what the neurologist said. I don't care what the report looked like. I said, no. I resisted the devil in Jesus' name. And I say, praise God. So you know what? The healing's here. It's
yes.
right here.
Yes, it
in
is.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Jesus. Well, I was going to say that when Pastor Rachel, when she started ministering, I know a lot of you were had healing starting then and receiving. I'm going to pull this back so we'll have some room. Oh, Brenda, come back up. And Beverly and Rose, if you'll come on the other, let's just kind of spread out a little. Give you six, get fix 6 feet apiece. I mean, apart.
Pam, can I just add something to what you were saying yes. about the baptism yes. of the Holy Spirit? Yes. I just want to add to something that Pam was talking about. For those of us who have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, it can seem daunting or strange. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I always felt like the Lord gave me this metaphor years ago, and I still believe it, that it's true today, that people who don't know Jesus, it's like they have the radio on, but there's just static coming through. And they're not really hearing anything. It's just white noise. It's static. When you become saved, the radio dial becomes tuned to a particular station, but it just can still be a little fuzzy as far as hearing the Lord. But when you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, it is fine-tuning that radio dial, and you begin to hear the Lord a lot more clearly. It's yes. a lot more clearly Absolutely. That you hear the Lord when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So don't be afraid of something that's new. It's something worth receiving.
Okay. I turned mine off for a second. Okay. Yeah, just because... When I get ready to pray, I don't want that turned on. But I just wanted to say, I'm going to ask all of you that can, if you'll stay and connect your faith with people that come. I can remember what a tremendous day that was for me. It was one of the best days of my entire life because I so wanted to walk closer with God. And I did want to, if this was, because it says, you shall receive me and do with power from on high. I knew I needed more power. And I have prayed for multitudes of people that are healed of awesome things. And I mean, like I said, that's why I'm so on over... You know, overflow all the time because of so many things I've seen God do, but it's only because of God in me. You know, it's God in us and through us. Amen. He'll put things in us, and then He wants to flow out through us to touch and bless people and heal people. So if you haven't received your prayer language, and maybe you went up before and prayed, but you know you don't really use your language or haven't really felt a real flow in it, then we want you to come. And if there's someone and there's something in your body that And I know you raised your hand for healing today, and God is working on that. But I just felt to say, I don't know if there's anybody that's got something that's been pronounced incurable, because I kept hearing, because then He says that we will cure diseases and heal the sick. In one of the scriptures, several places, it says, believers cure diseases. So the cure is in us because Jesus is in us. So, or if you want to stand for someone that has an incurable disease, I want to stand with you today. And you can come to any one of us up here. We don't care who you come to. We just want you to come to Jesus, because we all have the same Jesus. Amen. And Rachel's going to just play some worship music for us to just be listening to. But would you stretch your hands forth and let's pray for people. And if you want to pray for someone else, come up, and you can come to any one of us, like I said, because we're just be led. Ask the Lord, say, who do you want me to pray with? And we're ready to pray for you. Amen. And then we're going to dismiss, but we're doing that first. If you'll please stay and pray with us for other people. Amen. And God bless you, and thank you for coming today.